flash of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy. He's worthy, isn't he? Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Do you? You want to see him? So then just look into his word. And you'll find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like, turn in your scriptures. Turn where we've been reading from our favorite scripture, Ephesians 1. I hadn't read that probably in one whole service. Ephesians 1. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Remember to pray for all of the children today and for Wade and June and them for, you know, coming back home and from the youth camp there at Brother Burley. So keep those in mind. That the Lord would be with them. And to remember now, they have the new book, number 6 of the Jorgensen book. Now, you can also get these in MP3s on some of it, okay? Everybody understand? You can get it that way, or you can get the books to read. So, but we've got to know what to order. So then you'll have to write me a note, give it to Lisa. We'll have to get it together. If you want them, you know, from... to get these on the new ones. I've already finished mine. I know me and my wife has, because Brother Anderson and him gave it to us the other day, and it's really good. I enjoyed it, and I really, you know, appreciate it, of what they're trying to do and what they've said. So, but if you want it, make sure we leave this laying here where that we'll make sure to announce it again. But we got to get it together, you know, and to send it in at one time, and then we can get it back as a lump sum. If not, then you'll have to get your address part and get it yourself. So just remember that. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, the Lord willing. The topics are what we're on. This one would just be strictly questions. Whatever you have, it won't be an assigned part. It'll be strictly questions, something that you have in on your heart, and we'll take them as far as we can, how many times we have to, and we'll do it that way. So just remember that. And also remember that Brother Quinn will be here with us preaching for the weekend and all this upcoming weekend. Remember that and be much in prayer for him and all. All right. My wife wants me to make sure to thank all of you for your prayers and everything, and your visits, your cards, your calls, your things that you brought, flowers and things. But she really appreciates it. We just appreciate it from the bottom of her heart, of all of you, and especially the prayers, because that's the main thing. And they've cleared her up okay on the heart. They've cleared her up on the upper part of her stomach. And, you know, no bleeding ulcers in that part. So now they have a few more tests to run. But all their running is turning out to be okay. They have figured out part of it is the deterioration in her back of the degenerative, plain old thing of saying arthritis in your back and all. So, you know, just keep her in your prayers. Keep praying for her that the Lord would you know, bring her through all of this, and everything will be okay. All right. Any other announcements? I generally forget. I try to write them down where I can remember, but if not, then we'll try to do it. But turn, if you will, to Ephesians 1. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the day and the hour that we're living upon the earth. We thank you for you, Lord, because we know one thing for sure: without you, there is no hopes in any of us whatsoever. Our dependency is upon you, and we ask you to just guide us and direct us in understanding, Lord. Open our understanding to thy word, because that's what we've been talking about. And as we go along the way, that you would speak to us as you did with the disciples that day, and open our understanding, and Lord, but that still did not give them the new birth. It did not give them eternal life, because you opened their understanding. But the day of Pentecost came, you revealed the word that you had opened unto them, and that brought eternal life. We love you and we thank you. Have your way now and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. I told you I'd get back to preach on this scripture eventually, you know, when we started using it on the predestinations and things. I told you I'd get back to this, and I wanted to preach on it. So, you know, we'll start. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. If some of you brothers would pass these. Now, if I had all the notes that I've looked over on this, you would be getting about 40 pages this morning. But now what I want to do, if I can, I said if I can, I want to go through this morning and kind of just give you a little layout of what we're talking about. And, you know, it may be a series of services in this. I don't know, because I don't go. I just go day to day to see what the Lord speaks to me to bring out. And along in about the middle of the service series that I was in about on predestination and things like that, the Lord opened up something to me that had always been kind of a sticker, I guess you call it, a thing that I could not completely understand. All right. And then when he did, it opened unto me to where that I could speak on it. And I want to try to do that to you. But I want to just try to, you know, not read a lot this morning, but maybe depend on the fact that you know the message, and then we will come back this afternoon if necessary, and we will use a lot of the quotes that Brother Branham has said on this topic, and then, you know, maybe the internet people can get a better understanding. So I'm just asking you out there, if you will, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, please just listen to another service or so, and, you know, I would do that with you, and that's all I've asked, instead of just cutting off and saying, well, he's wrong. He's in another group. That's this group over here. That so-and-so believes that. Well, that might be all right. I don't know what so-and-so believes. I just go by what I believe, and I just tell you what I believe, because what somebody else believes is their business. But I kind of want to do it that way and just kind of speak on it, and then, you know, back up, and if necessary, you know, do a lot of the quotes and things. But if you would, while we're going along in the message today, if you see what you think is a question in your mind, you know, we'll write it down. And, you know, and even give it to me between services today. And, you know, whatever, or keep it, and we will then have, maybe the Lord willing, Wednesday or something, we might even have total questions and answers relating to this subject. But what we're going to talk about is chosen in him. That will be the title, and you know, for a couple of messages, I'm sure. But now we've been reading this from Ephesians for quite some time, and as I said, I told you that I would try to come back, and I wanted to speak on Ephesians 1 and try to get a little understanding about it. All right. Now, we've been talking about and using Ephesians 1, how with it, you know, the adoption and the predestination and the things. And then we came over and we studied in Romans 8 now about the, you know, three stages of adoption. In other words, your new birth, the receiving Jesus Christ as a new birth, and that's dealing with that verse, chapter 8, now verse like 14 through 17, where that we become heirs and joint heirs, and that new birth that you receive, that we must receive the new birth to make us the children of God. And then we will understand something this morning that's going to go in that will bring into view I hope, an understanding of why Brother Branham would come forth and state and say that you always was eternal. All right? I'm hoping that this will give us a better understanding of that. But I believe that you must receive the new birth. You must receive eternal life. And that is stage one of the adoption, which is the identification of a child of God. And we preached upon that for quite a while. You know, that even in comparison, that on the River Jordan, there the Lord Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not because he had to as a new birth, but to be able to bring forth the fullness of the Godhead bodily into the point of where that he would, the anointing for his ministry, etc. All right. We covered the anointing. We've covered the things of trying to get it. This is for somebody that clicks in on the internet and doesn't hear, you know, and they say, what in the world are they talking about? Back up and listen. If you don't want to back up and listen, forget it. All right. But see, then we went over to covering stage one, and then we went to stage two about verse 18 through 21 of Romans 8, to where that we were talking about the authority that the children of God is expected to come to. Are the hear ye him that Jesus came to on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that would come out to be hear ye him, you know, and your name on the checkbook, etc., etc. All right? And then in that, we were talking about the... Now, I'm in a hurry, so I'm trying to lay a background to say something in a minute. But, so you should know it here especially, that we covered through that stage that it's a manifestation of the sons of God that the world is waiting on. And the word manifest is to make known. See? To make known. You go down to a store, and you order something, and they'll give you a manifest or a piece of paper that declares on that piece of paper what is you're supposed to be getting. And that's more or less called a manifest. You know, all right? But in the scriptural sense, it's to make known. All right? See, then we covered for weeks and weeks about how that we must make him known, and then he'll make us known. See? We make him known by the preaching of the gospel, and then he'll make us known by signs and wonders. You know, so then everybody gets into that, oh, we just don't see nothing. Well, I wonder where you would be if you was back before, so that's all right. Just go on. But I'm just trying to get it to a place to where we can understand. See, all I've tried to do is to, and I realize that no man can reveal God. Jesus Christ was the only one that could come and reveal or make him manifest, known, to where that you could see God. All right? See, then we can't do it as human beings, but the new birth. The new birth that comes within us, see, and the anointing, the teaching, the inside, and then the teaching outwardly to where that we can make him known. And remember what we were talking about in there in Luke, where the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that Jesus opened their understanding of the scriptures. And then drops on down, that was the two, drops on down a little bit in the scriptures and meets with the other disciples, and he opens their understanding of the scriptures. All right? But see, that didn't give them the new birth, as I was praying. They had to wait till Pentecost. Pentecost quickened what Jesus opened. Now, so we ought to realize that no man can teach us anything. So what we do is we depend upon the fivefold ministry to bring us the message, to break it down to where that we can understand God, you know, through the gifts that they have and the speaking. And I'll get to it. You'll notice in the message after a while, you'll click on to something that you'll see that those gifts are predestinated eternally. I said the gifts. I didn't say the person. I didn't say the person. So now you click off, dude. See, you go by what I say and you'll be all right. I won't have no trouble with you. All right? But see, then gifts and callings of God are what? Oh, I thought you repented and finally done. No, it's without. I think I have it in here. If not, I've got it in the office there, where Brother Brown said, if I quit today, don't ever preach another sermon, go sit down beside the river. That's what he said. He said, I'm still saved. But he said, I do it because I love God and want to do it. See, all right. So that's gifts. All right. But now watch that after a while when we tie together the message. But you understand what we're saying then? All the ministries to do in the last days, a fivefold ministry, is to open our understanding. And that doesn't do away with the women teaching the women and the children and the things. I listen to the children. I listen to you talking, you know, because I believe God can use you to speak to me. All right? And see, just because you're a ministry, say, well, I ain't listening to nobody. Well, then you're not a fivefold ministry in God. You're not called of God. Forget it. I mean, you ought to have enough sense to realize that. But you don't. So that won't change nothing. That's all right. See, I'm not trying to win the world. I'm trying to win those that will hear the word and for them to listen and realize this is what it is, you know, and get an understanding. All right. That's stage two. See, that's in the basis of the stage two, which is the authority. And in that stage, we found out that there is where the headstone comes to adopt the individual into the body of Christ, is in stage two, our manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The headstone would come and unite then with the individual, and that is your adoption. I believe that was Brother Branham's adoption, when the head united with the body, and there he was in Arizona, and it united. He came back and proved it by showing what God had revealed to him. You say, I believe it's over here. Well, don't worry about it. We all believe he was adopted. All right. If you have somewhere to put it and you got his words, come and show me. All right. But now listen. Then we come to the place of the third stage of adoption, which is verse 23 of Romans 8. It says, to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. Right. All right. Now, see, then in this life, we need to be more concerned with the understanding of the redemption, you know, the plan of redemption, than we do in the point of being changed, because that will be in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. That'll take place, but if we don't get the message planted into our hearts correctly, amen, how can God quicken it? You say, well, Brother Dale, I've read the message for 40 years. Amen. But what has God revealed to you? That's all I've asked. As I always told you, I wish I had revealed in my heart what I've got in my head. My head is like a computer. You know, it can remember and do it and all like this. But my heart is where God reveals it at. You don't receive the new birth in your brain, although we do need a baptizing of the Holy Ghost in the brain. And I wish God would do that, because it would cleanse out a lot of problems we have. But that doesn't work. All right? So then to go on with the rest of it. See? All right? And see, then to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. See? In other words, something has got to come forth in the last days and give us an understanding. You say, well, we have the message. Well, that's right. I agree with you. We have the message. But has it been revealed? Now, you remember how we kept going over it and over it? That if the message is not preached pure and unadulterated from man's ideas, how can God quicken it? He would be quickening hybrid word or hybrid doing. That would be denominationalism. And that won't work. Well, Brother Dale, you understand everything. I didn't say that. What has been revealed to me, I understand. What has been revealed, made known, made alive within me, I understand. And I don't worry about anybody trying to take it away from me, because that it's a revelation. And if it's not a revelation, you can get it away from me easily by out-arguing me. But I'm not going to argue with you anyway. I'm just going to go on down the road. But if you come to talk to me about it, make sure you got the message to talk about, not what you think. See, what we think ain't worth 2 cents. All right. But do you understand now the background? That in verse 23 it says that we would come to a place to where that would be an understanding of the redemption of the body would come into view. Because automatically then, Brother Branham, when he covered it, he covered the seals. He said, this is the complete plan of redemption. All right? Was for what? Body, spirit, soul, world, right? Everything. Was the complete plan of redemption brought in the message of the hour. Now watch this, and you, in a minute when I say something, when your computer clicks, just unclick it. Your brain, in other words. Just unclick it and remember what I'm saying. We do not believe in another messenger to come to straighten out Brother Branham's message. We don't need that. It's perfect. All right? Now, he made his mistakes in, like, the White Horse Rider, the things. There's mistakes in speech, dates, times, seasons, maybe. But the message of the hour is perfect. All right, I believe that. Now, but we can get our own thoughts in there, and when we do, then we pervert the message. And how can God quicken it? How could it have been quickened on the day of Pentecost to those disciples that Jesus had raised, see, if he hadn't raised? See? You understand? See, it's, the word's got to be preached pure and unadulterated. That's the only thing I've ever contended for, is to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. See, the revelation that was delivered to the saints and delivered to the... See, we have built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, which would be the whole Bible. And Brother Branham never come to give us another Bible. He come to tell us this Bible was right and to give us the right understanding of it. He opened our understanding to the Scriptures. He couldn't reveal it. He could just open our understanding. Jesus opened their understanding. He couldn't reveal it. He opened their understanding. They went to Pentecost with that understanding. What was quickened? That understanding. That's why there was only 120, even though the Bible said he was seen of 500, and it calls them brethren, which probably means they later became Christians, or why else would it call them brethren? See? But yet they didn't go to the upper room. Why? They had a doubt. They had a thought. They had something wrong. But the 120 in the upper room might have had problems sitting there and thought they ought to get up and go do things, but they was with one accord on one thing. He said the Holy Ghost would come. And we're going to stay and wait. All right, now, trying to get on with it. See, then we covered in one of the last messages on speaking that the head and body would unite in the last days to bring the message. All right? Now, as I just got through saying, we're not looking for another prophet. We're not looking for another message. We're looking for this message that we've received to be revealed, which will be the revelation that's contained in the Bible. People will hold up a Bible and they'll say, this is the Bible. They'll hold up quotes from the prophet. They'll say, this is the revelation. Well, now how can that be when both of them are letters on a page? See? All right? See, why not just hold this one up, the Bible, and say this is the revelation, because it is. But it was sealed away from us. Right? Not only was it sealed away by seven seals that would be the end time mysteries, it was sealed away to you and I until we receive the new birth. Because the Bible said no man can call Jesus a Christ except what? By the new birth. All right. Because you got to have the inside teacher. Okay. So now we're getting to the point that I want to just lay something down now and watch it. And I tried this on my wife yesterday. She didn't know, she was having problems with her has with sleeping and things, and some of the medication makes her sleepy. And I was thinking about, while I was doing it, Brother Branham, you remember, he said one day that he got so tickled to death about something he saw. I believe it was about grace. Now, I think it's right. But anyhow, he said that he woke Meaty up, and he said he preached to her for about an hour and a half. And he said she was graceful enough to sit there and listen. Well, my wife came in to study yesterday, and I don't have any notes written on some of this message whatsoever. I refuse to write it down. All right. But she came in, and I thought, well, I'll try her out on it and see how it works. Well, she had problems staying awake, and she, you know, that was all right. But that's what I thought. I thought, well, maybe this is working the same way. But I tried it out on her for about an hour and a half or an hour or something on the message to see what she thought about it, and she made the correct answers. So, you know, we go from that. All right. And she started off, and I'll get to that in a minute. She started off with, when I asked her a question, she answered it exactly to where that I have stood for 40-something years. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, that I believe that's basically where most of you are standing on this point that I want to get to in a minute. All right? Now, and there's nothing wrong with it, because it's right. But it's time for us to, as Aaron was bringing out there Wednesday, I thoroughly enjoyed his message, and he was bringing out that, you know, that the Corinthians couldn't stand the word too good, but the Ephesians could stand strong meat. Well, I think it's about time the Lulians gets to where they can, you know, stand some strong meat. And after all of these years, you should realize that I'm not trying to bring some doctrinal issue or something to pop up and make something out of myself, or because it's done too late for all of that. We're done here in the end. It's in Him. All right. See, we're not expecting then something different to come. You know, and it's not some secret coded things. You know, they say now that they've broken some of the codes of the Bible, and they can do this, and they can do that, and they can prove this. That's all right. I don't understand it, but I'm not worried about the codes. I'm worried about the revelation. All right. And see, in that, you know, we're not looking for another message to come or another messenger, but for this message to unfold unto us. That's why, to me, I got it written somewhere in here. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound." I remember trying to preach that about 40 years ago and got in trouble. I probably will again, but it's all right. See, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Why would the scripture say that? Well, it's just stating that it's going to sound. No, to me, it's saying it to give us understanding that out of all that the Bible is written, out of all the things that is brought forth by the prophet of God, I believe that there must be a personal revelation. Amen. Revealed to you and I as individuals about what that Bible has said, what the prophet has said. That's all I've ever tried to do. See, then at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. All right? Brother Brown said the last trumpet, last seal, last angel's message, all the same, and sounds at the same time. So we're not looking for something else. We're going into the message to make sure that we understand. We have the message. See, let me say it like this. It'll be this afternoon's message. How many times have you noticed that Brother Branham said that you never sought God? He said, you never sought God. You never sought God. He said, because the Bible says that no man sought God. There ain't no scripture. There ain't no scripture that says no man sought God. Look it up. It's not there. You gotta get the prophet what he's saying. Then you can get into it and realize what Jesus was saying, you know. But there's no scripture that says no man sought God. If there is, come show me at the service. I'll give you my computer to look it up with, you know. I'm not making that as sarcastic, I'm making it as a point. We have a message that messenger told us what the Bible was saying, right? And in that, he would say that the ands and the buts is in the right place of the Bible, of the King James. Then he'd turn around and he'd say, now this shouldn't have been a lie, it should have been the lie. Said, what is that other one? won't hinder. He said, see, it should have said prevent, or whatever, which way it are in the scriptures. You know. See, he's giving us the understanding. He's opening our understanding. We don't have to have another version of the Bible when maybe some of the other versions would have said that. But he's telling us what it's saying. So then we can go back to him and say, Brother Branham, what does this mean? Now, I know people, you know, you're going to go home, grab your Bible, and you're going to start searching. I know it's in there. Like my wife told me, she said, when we were reading the Bible years ago, she said, the Bible says that you won't be able to tell the difference in the seasons except from the shedding of the leaves and the budding of the trees. She said, the Bible says it. I said, the Bible don't say it, honey. Well, I've been told it said it. I said, yeah, but don't say it. See? I said, because the shedding of the leaves and the budding of the trees is the change of the weather. You know, that is the change, is what causes those things. You heard it said that every tub will set on its own bottom. People swear by that. That's not in the Bible. You say, well, okay, come and show me now. Because I'm dishonest, I'm just telling you, you won't find it. You know, better put your seed in the belly of the whore than it is to put it on the ground. Now, show me a Bible. I know the illustration. I know where the guy died for the situation, but the Bible don't say that because it'd be justifying prostitution. So you see, we get all tied up and we think, now that's what I said a moment ago. If we don't show it down pure and unadulterated, we've got them little thoughts in there. Well, it's okay to be a prostitute because the Bible says it's better to sow or to go out and live with a prostitute because it says it's better to put the seed in the belly of a whore. That's not in the Bible. See? We swear by these things. Mama told me. See? Brother Ray, he and I get into a lot about this because he'll come to him and ask me. He say, so-and-so said so-and-so that Brother Brown said. I said, I can't find it. You know, he said, well, I can't either. Well, ever who heard it? Now, heard it with their ears, but they didn't, you know, get it exactly right. All right, let's move on. Forget it. See, not a new message. Not a different message. But this message revealed. What was the difference now between what the disciples had when Jesus opened their understanding? Are you listening? He opened their understanding. And I gave you this. We went through the scriptures there. Read right down below where in Luke where it says he opened their understanding. It tells you what he opened. Back up above there, it says he opened their understanding of the two disciples. Read what it says he opened. He opened their understanding that he was going to die. You know, had to die. That he had to pay the price. That he'll have to come back. And salvation would be in his name. That's what he opened. He didn't open the entire Bible. He just opened their understanding of that part. See? Brother Branham came then to open our understanding of the entire Bible in the end time. That don't mean I understand it all. No, but that means he brought it unto us. See? All right? See, then we get to that place. See, we're not looking for another message. But something has got to come out of this message. As I said, what was the difference between what the disciples had their understanding open? Most everybody calls that the new birth. Most everybody calls that a revelation. Come on, you're out there on the internet. You know what I'm saying is true. You preachers especially. You think that's a revelation. Why did he have to go open it up there in the book of Acts? He opened their understanding in the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost did, of who Jesus was. Who was it? Paul. What's his name? Apollos. He was preaching about Jesus being raised and died for the people, etc., etc., right? And hadn't even got baptized. Come on, read your Bible. See, when Paul came in contact, or Peter, one of them, came in contact with him, see, then the scriptures would open enough that he could receive the Holy Ghost. See, what we need is a new birth to reveal to us what has been opened to us. As I said, Oral Roberts University has the books, the tapes. They could tell you everything. They have the computer. They could tell you everything Brother Branham said on a topic. But you know for sure that if they did, they'd have to leave that place. Right. Now follow me. So then with all of that behind, see, and then when I get to it in a minute, and then you're going to go, your brain will go. So just remember, your brain's supposed to be cleaned of all that. Of you thinking Brother Dale's going to try to come up with something different. All right. So let's go to what Brother Branham had to say about it. See? Because this is what we've already covered over and over, but I want to make sure you understand. See? Because this is the background. If I just get the background this morning, I don't worry about it. I've quoted this to you, give it to you for many, many services, where Brother Branham said, on Christ the mystery of God revealed. Yeah. Page 76. The kingdom of God is within you, and said the Bible, Jesus. The kingdom. We are not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in your own life. Now, there's the answer. This kingdom is the revealed word. That's all what all Jesus was preaching to the kingdom. What is it? The revealed word. All right? It's not houses and buildings and apartments to live in. All right? See? What is it? And the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in your own life, in our own life. Bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the word and God was one. And the Word and God is one in His church today. Amen. Now this is 63:7-28, which is after the opening of the seals. Okay? Listen to it. And the Word and God is one in His church today, making it the headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message in the last day, and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection to go back and to restore again Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Right. Now, the headship, see, the revealed word is the headship, right? And it's to what? Headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's just talking about his message. Well, now he's saying that it's in the church. All right, his message is in the church. All right, we're fine. But this is after the seals broke. So he's talking about something to take place that is to bring something in the future. All right? To bring the message in the last days and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection. All right? Yeah. Look at the next one. It's the rising of the sun, preached 1965, 418, way after the seals broke. And he's talking about Christ and the sheaf wave and all the coming down. So the waving of the sheaf, what was the sheaf? The first one that come to maturity. The first one that proved it was a wheat, that proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And the first time there will come forth for the bride age. The first time there will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, will be a message that the fully maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power and been waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Now, we know for surety. Brother Branham's not the sheaf wave. We don't cover him as a sheaf wave here because that's where everybody wants to bring. They think that's the great revelation if they see Brother Branham as a sheaf wave. No. But he was waved. He was the first one to come to maturity. Amen. Because he brought the message. But Jesus is the sheaf wave. See? But he brought the message, and he could be waved over us. But he's talking about something here that will bring us out, the message that the full maturity of the word and has turned back again its full power. He's talking about something to be brought forth. That's why it's the rising of the sun. Right. Proving his word, 1965, 426. We've got to have a message sweep back and bring the people out of these denominational conditions back to the original, genuine Pentecostal faith, and we're seeing it done. Listen. It's fulfilling of a scripture that has to come to pass. Did you read that one? It's a fulfilling of a scripture. Now watch it. All scripture must be fulfilled. So there's a scripture related to this. I believe I gave it to you out of the last trumpet. You know, the last trumpet shall sound. See, not another message. It's revealing of God's word in the bride of Jesus Christ. Okay, look at it, invisible union of the bride of Christ. Preached 1965, 11:25. And he's explaining, coming down, you know, the elect lady. Notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage, just doing anything they want to do, watch. The church is doing the same thing. See, notice, but watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival. Now, everybody says revival's over. And we agree to the world. There will never be another revival. The next revival will be the 144,000 in the tribulation. There's not another revival to the Gentiles. We agree. But watch what he's saying. Now, where did he ever do away with a revival for the bride? See, I've been having a revival ever since I come in this message. In the past few years, I'm really in a revival. Because you don't revive a sinner. Revival never was to get was to revive a sinner. You can't revive a sinner. Revivals was to get the people lined up, and the sinner saw them living right and acting right and doing right and repenting, and they come and they want to repent too. All right? But look what he's saying. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the word of God, watch then again. Now, this could not have been back there where the four of the seals broke, and you say, well, that's what that was. Watch it. You see how that the scriptures, at that time, there will be a message sweep out to catch that bride, catch that woman elect. For as the world sees Satan's a deceiver and all like that, who deceived the first by sinning, God by misbelieving his word. All right. I'm looking for a revival. But I'm in the revival. Amen. You remember the Welsh man standing there, you know, with his keys slinging around and around. Where's the revival? He said, you're looking at it. Right. But see, we think revival means dead raised, sick healed, manifestation, sinner repentant, etc. Why can't we have a personal revival over the opening of this message? Right. Amen. Come on, what's the problem? Then when people do see the fire burning, they will come. Because let me quote Brother Branham. I didn't bring it, but let me quote him again. He said, I don't know how many will be saved in that last moment to rapture the church. Is that a quote? See, then what are you expecting, Brother Dale? I thought one of these days you said redemption's over when this... You ain't never heard me say nothing like that. Where'd you get it? Your prophet said he didn't know how many to be saved in that last moment. He said, well, saved means... Now you're going to go ahead and try to explain every bit of it. See, that's where our trouble is. When something is said, our minds run, our computer, and we got quotes running across the screen in front of our brain, and we just, and never listening. Did you notice what he said? Proving his word, he said, it's fulfilling of a scripture that has to come to pass. Here he just said, that the Scriptures tells you at that time they'll sweep out a message. I've always looked for that. And longed for a group of people to be able to just settle down and listen to the Word. You don't want signs and wonders, Brother Dale? I'm not concerned about that, because Satan can impersonate every bit of it. But he cannot impersonate that Word. He can't be the Holy Ghost, so I ain't going to worry about it. And he can't bring the Word pure and unadulterated. It can't be done. See? See, then I wrote it like this. See what I'm talking about? Truly, this message is not a new message, but the message that has been brought to us, revealed, or fulfilled. See? The fully matured Word we read. See, when the bride becomes the Word, I've taught you all the way down. How do we get the stature of perfect man? It can only be done by the revealing of God's Word. Right, it's not done because you train yourself into it. See?
Exactly right.
It's not done because we study into it. But if we don't study and all, it's not going to work. We're going to get that in a minute. So we're going to divide a line here in a minute that I hope you'll follow me. See, then what we need in this day is to get our understanding opened as to what to expect. And that's where the fivefold ministry to me is failing.
Right.
They're not programming the people.
Right.
And that's a bad word to use, because people say, program us. It's supposed to be revelation.
Yeah.
I can't reveal it and you can't either. When you get that off your mind, you'll be better off. Brother Branham couldn't reveal it. Jesus said, my own life, Brother Branham, quoting him, did not reveal that unto thee, because only the Holy Ghost is the revealer. Christ the mystery of God revealed. I believe it's 45. Only the Holy Ghost is the revealer. All Jesus could do was open our understanding. Yeah. All right. But see, we think hearing the message is revelation. Yeah. All right. Now I'm going to make something personal right here, so go ahead and do what you want to. See, we need our understanding to be opened of the plan of redemption of the whole being, body, spirit, soul, world, etc. Well, what do you mean? I've done read the seal book. I could listen to Brother Richard on a tape our last night. He said people say, well, I read the seal book. I know all about redemption. Been in the message 2 weeks. Know all about it. Notice all these young preachers come in. What is it? Straightening out everybody.
Oh my.
Just give them time. They get straightened out or whatever. But listen. Here's something I want to speak to you personal for a minute. I think it's time for the latter rain. Now, are you listening? I think it's time for the latter rain to fall to quicken the word that we have in the field. It must be first planted in the field, pure and unadulterated from any man's ideas. Yeah. All right? Do you see what I mean? See, to you and I, we have to get the understanding of redemption, which we must understand it, to wit. Then the body change can come.
Right.
Only after our understanding has been opened that it can quicken.
Right.
I believe that the revealed word and not the letter will change this whole being that we are. Because I believe that's what changed our being in the new birth. Was a revealed word. I believe the new birth is a revelation of God's word. That changed your soul and made your soul eternal. All right. So we would have to continue on. That's what I've been trying to do and will continue to do, is preach the message to the place that God can reveal it to us. See? Because he uses the fivefold ministry to open our understanding of the message Remember, he cannot reveal part word and part error because that is hybrid seed. All right. With that in mind now, of all I've laid in the background, let me just try to say something to you. So let's go back to Ephesians. And you'll see that I have been wanting to speak on that. But let's see that if he'll open our understanding so that it can be made alive. All right. So in Ephesians 1:3, we've been reading. See, we could stay for an hour's on the Godhead. Blessed be the God and Father. Translate that word "and" into the word "even" because it can be used as "even." See, all right, God, even Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, not bringing three people into being. It's a revelation of one true and living God. Now watch what he's done. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? Oh, glory. Heavenly places. We're just glory. Where's it at? It says in Christ.
Right.
In Christ. I looked at one or two yesterday, this, and I thought, well, surely people understand this. Brother Brown said, outside of Christ, we're worth nothing. So if you don't understand that, you've got a problem in your mental capacity, let alone anything else. If you think you're something without Christ. Because he's the only one worth anything. All right. But look now. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, Brother Branham, I gave you the quotes in there, right? What is heavenly places, Brother Branham? Page number 5 on your notes. Page 29, Christ's mystery of God revealed. It's the believer's position in Christ.
Amen.
It's not shouting glory, hallelujah, and we feel it and we're running with it and all like that. You know, all of these things. Oh, glory, we're in heavenly places. It's being in Christ.
Amen.
Then if all that shouting glory, hallelujah is there, wonderful.
That's right.
You remember what the prophet said? It's all right to get up there and shout and glory, hallelujah, but said, make sure you walk straight and you come back down. Now, that's as good a definition of Christianity as I could ever hear in my life. Because that's always stuck with me. Just make sure you can walk straight and you come back down. See? All right? Paul is trying to tell us that we're in heavenly places, that we've been put in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. See? Not in ourselves or our own ideas, but it's the believer's position, the right hand of the Father. How much more do we need?
Amen.
All right. Going to the next one of the message, E 12 of Abraham and his seed after him in 61:4-23. How do we get into Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, what? By one spirit we're baptized into one body, which is in the body of Christ. All right. Now, the only way to get into heavenly places is to be born again.
Right.
The only way to receive a revelation of God's word to change us or anything, you can get a revelation of healings, you can get a revelation of something taking place, etc., etc., because it's in the Bible. But you can't get a Holy Ghost born again experience revelation without it being the word revealed to you.
Right.
I don't believe in it. He said, well, Brother Dale, I shouted, I cried, I said, okay, all right, wonderful. That's what the baby does after it gets here. Give me the birth of the baby. The baby crying and screaming is not its birth. Get the baby here. Let it do what it wants to do. That's evidences. I want to know what the birth is. It's the birth of the Word.
Amen.
All right. Heavenly places, the believer's position in Christ. Now verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. You know, they even put parentheses in the Scofield Bibles around the word "in." And I'm assuming that they would probably put it there, maybe thinking you would use the word "by." But we'll get to that in a second. That won't work. According as he had chosen us in him, when? before the foundation of the world. What? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, how can a human mortal be holy? There's no way. Our scripture said our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. Brother Brown said, Hebrews series, I'll find it for you. He said, I'd hate to think that I was born 5 minutes ago. Now, what could a 5-minute old baby do? Kind of odd. That's kind of what the Catholics let these abortion babies by the women that's there, you know, they let them live for just a few minutes and then they kill them. He said, what would it be for 5 minutes? You know, what could a 5-minute old baby do? He said, I hate to have to face God that way. You know why? Because you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Now, we know old babies going to heaven. We know the whole side of the story. But see, that's where your computer goes. Brother Dale don't understand. We believe all babies go to heaven. You're not listening to what I'm saying. You're not listening to what Brother Brown said. He said, I'd hate to face God with that. He said, because I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. I was lost. But you see, we just run fast forward to what we want to believe. Now, God can't quicken what we want to believe. But see, notice now, it says what? That we were chosen in him. Now, I said they put a parenthesis around the end if you're looking in the Scofield Bible. Maybe they want to emphasize the basis of something. I don't know. But maybe they want to try because the word by and in can be translated. Where it says over in Hebrews 1 that he spoke in sundry times in or by the prophets. See, but it's not necessarily everything. Every time that you see the word and cannot be translated even. It can only be translated that on occasions that where it fits the background of what it's talking about. All right? Now, so we're predestinated. I mean, we're chosen in him. And it was done before the foundation of the world. Now listen, our mind. All right, you're going to have to just listen because I'm not a doctor. I'm just a preacher of the gospel and do the best I can. I tried it on my wife, and that's what I wanted to do to see how her reactions was to my natural wording. All right. It doesn't say that we were chosen by him. But that's what our mind thinks. Our mind thinks we were chosen by him. You say, no. I can read. Yeah, but your mind interprets. Why is it that five people can see a car wreck and there's five different interpretations of what they all saw? Right? That's what a guy said one time. I remember reading. He said, that, you know, if you commit a crime, he said, just hang around. You know, they ask him, he's a gangster, kill people, you know. He said, just hang around. See, if you go running off, they go, figure it's you. He said, just hang around. He said, people ain't going to know what's going on. He said, then you see he's off. Go see our mind. That was a red car. No, it wasn't. Where's Lisa? Lisa used to tell Terrence, that was a blue car. And he said, no, it's not a blue car. It was a red car. And then her foot would go up and down because it might have been a blue one, but, you know, a red one. I'm just trying to illustrate. Okay? See, our mind, our eyes, a portion of our brain reads one thing. The subconscious parts of our brain interprets to us what is being said or you're reading. Now, you say, well, what would be the difference in chosen by him or chosen in him? If you're chosen by him, you're not a part of him.
Right.
Okay, we're going now. If you're chosen by him, and we're going to get to some things in a minute, or we'll get it this afternoon. And I'm just going to talk to you because a lot of this I don't have wrote down, period. I wouldn't write it. But if you think you were chosen by him, you don't have no scripture. Because that would make him choosing you. The Bible doesn't say that. It says you were chosen in him. Okay? Now, see, our mind tells us things that we read. Now, we read here that the choosing, even itself, took place before the foundation of the world. Now, there are some quotes. I have them laying back there, but I'm going to go with it. Brother Brown said, see, there said it was before the world. He said, then how could you choose? Are you listening? If it was before the world, how could you choose? What part of you was back there to choose? You got a little drawing that I gave to you with some lines on it. And choosing is on this side for us. It's over in time. Very poor example of what I wanted to bring out, but still it gets the point. And so, Brother Dale, you just don't understand. Now, this was the question I asked my wife. I said, honey, what do you think about that we were chosen in him? I already get it correct. Chose us in him to make sure people don't want to garbage with that. She said, well, honey, said, I understand, I believe, predestination, foreknowledge and things. But she said, I don't fully understand the choosing. Until the Lord revealed this to me, I didn't either. Yet I spoke about it. I've done the best I could because there is ways. And one thing for sure, when I get through with this, I'm saying it up front. What we've taught about predestination and foreknowledge is correct. But it's time to move on a step. A brother said to me the other day, he said, Brother Dale, you're not through finished with predestination. I said, no, sir, I'm not. But now listen. The Bible says plainly now that we were chosen in him. He chose us in him, or chosen us in him. See, it's a past tense form, hath already done. It was done before the world ever begun. Now, I believe our biggest problem is we're on this side of eternity, you know, trying to figure out what took place on the other side of eternity. And that's why I gave you the drawing there, and I put it in the middle of the beginning, because you know what Brother Branham, see, we'll cover that, because he even covers back the beginning as being back before Genesis 1, and then he covers it as being Genesis 1, and it just keeps coming down. Now, we know for a certainty that there was a time that God dwelt alone. All right. All right. He had his attributes within him. I gave it to you, number 7, on the Manifested Sons of God, preached 1960. That his attributes is his nature. His nature. Right? Now, he already had those attributes. He never gained attributes when he came into the world. Now, you're going to have to swallow, so swallow real hard and take this one. His attributes are eternal. Now, one of these days, I want to preach on something the Lord spoke to me about yesterday. You know, in healing, we're trying to get healed. Brother Brown said, your healing is eternal. Now, wait a minute. Quote, see? You can be sick today and healed and they're sick again. And see, you're not listening. If you was ever healed, God done the healing. Amen. Solve that. See? I said maybe one of these days we'll get back to that. All right? Now we know for a certainty that according to who is this Melchizedek, I didn't give you these because surely you ought to know it, that Brother Brown said we bypassed our theophany, but he come in his theophany. Theophany is a word form body. He said, we didn't come that away. We become that here. Are you listening? Yes. So then here goes our computer. We never was the Word. Now you've lost the whole message of who this Melchizedek. Because Brother Brown says, if you was not the Word in the beginning, you will never be the Word. Okay? See, we didn't come in a theophany word body to stand there. We were in Him. Because He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the Word. We were in Him. Or we never will be in Him. Where does the eternal life that you have today come from? It's sure in the passing out of the devil, because he couldn't do that. See, that's where we're missing the whole plan of redemption, by our minds that we've so studied until we've got it in there, but yet our computer's minds, they just run haywire with us about quotes instead of sitting down and simply thinking things over. You know what I do sometimes? My wife came in yesterday and she said, you asleep? I said, no. You know what I was doing? Laying back in my chair and having the head laid back. Had my eyes closed. You know, I like to do that. I love to get out in the woods, sit up there on that deer stand, just 4 hours, and just think about what God has done and how He's done it and what He's used to do it with. And just think over the things. Well, Brother Dale, when I start doing that, the devil starts, yeah, he does me too. He starts putting in things that ain't no good. And about the time that I really get down to considering a whole lot about what I'm thinking about, a deer shows up. And it messes everything up. Because I'm human. All right. But you know, it do good sometimes to just sit down and think about what's been revealed to us. You don't ever do that. Just sit down and think about it. Do you ever thank God for what He's revealed to you? I thank Him every day, over and over, for what He's revealed. Yes. But you see, He never gained attributes, so He had those attributes. He was already a Savior. But there was nothing that needed saving. That doesn't change that He was already the Savior. He was a healer, but there was nothing that needed to be healed. That doesn't change that. His thoughts are eternal. They are not like, the prophet said, church age book, a man with a blueprint that lays out what he's going to build a house, you know, and then he proceeds to build it. He said, not like that. He said, his thoughts are eternal and part of Him. Mm-hmm. See, we're only displaying on this side of the line of what we draw out. You see some things. We are on the line of displaying the attributes. He was on the side of the attribute. I gave it to you, page 149 of Church Age book, that his thoughts are eternal. I gave you that one on number 8 of your notes, page 16, Christ the Mystery, that those attributes were in God. Right. See, then we read now that we were chosen in Him. I hope you're beginning to realize that we could not be chosen. It wasn't the fact that we were chosen by Him, because if we were chosen by Him, that would separate us. Because that would mean something being chosen, you know, in a different situation. But to be chosen in Him. See, it's not like somebody taking up sides and choosing which would be on what side and what would be. You've heard Brother Brown say that. He said it's not the fact that he sat down and chose Armin Neville and didn't choose this other brother. He said it didn't work. See? Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. You know what we do? We've been trained, and I trained you. So I got to train you another step upward, okay? That is by foreknowledge. Remember, predestination? He predestinates by his foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is before predestination. You agree? If not, then you'd have him, you'd transfer the words. So he predestinates by his foreknowledge. Foreknowledge existed before predetermining come into thinking. So you look on your drawing, and you'll see some things that I want you to think about. Foreknowledge. Was God in eternity that was capable, because of being God, infinite, finite, ever what those words are, that he could have a foreknowledge of everything that would be in the world? And that's why the thing formed can't say, why did you form me this way? Because he didn't form us that way. We formed ourselves. We've been through it, right? The foreknowledge. All right? We put another little word there that's in eternity. Predestination. All right? We put down chosen in him. All this is before the world. You're part of God before the world, or you'll never be part of God. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever begun, or it will never be written there. This is the one we're heading down towards. You were glorified in him before the world. You were justified in him before the world. Now, I didn't, Brother Joe corrected this to where we would have the correct wording of it. The next, I put Son of God, plan of redemption. See, but really that should have been sons, plural. So, you know, you translate it yourself. He translated on the computer for me. Because I'd rather it be using the word sons of God. Because my reference there is to where that the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And that was before the world. That was in eternity. That's what Brother Brown says. See? The seed, our word. Now we'll get back to that one on the sons of God, because Brother Brown says, and see, that's why we got a prophet to say it. He said that's when they seen the plan of redemption come into view. Wait a minute now, you're getting us too close now. It's the seed or word that comes predestinated eternally and not the person. Okay? Christ the mystery of God revealed, God had a plan. A hidden mystery. that he was going to, 1617, Christ the Mystery. He was going to see it happen. He had a purpose in doing that, to let himself be revealed. Well, that's a plan and a purpose. Now, foreknowledge of God, to make it to where that he wouldn't predestinate according to his desires. Because he desired that everybody be saved. So by his foreknowledge, he could predetermine.
That's right.
Because his foreknowledge was a knowledge of your choice.
Right.
You go with me?
Amen.
So he could predestinate according to your desires.
Right.
Okay. So then foreknowledge has to do with the fact that something would have to take place here, because that's his foreknowledge.
Right.
Now listen with me. I ain't got the key yet. We're still standing outside the door trying to get a hold of the key, but we're getting a place. Foreknowledge of God is of what you will do or not do or whatever. You agree? So we're not losing our understanding of foreknowledge and predestinations and you know, we're trying to get an understanding. Foreknowledge means God, before the world, had a knowledge of what would be here in time. You agree? Okay. Predestination, sitting back there, would be the destiny of the individual that would come over here. Because predestination means destiny determined beforehand. Now you're going to catch on in a minute. I hope that you're going to look at the right hand side and you're going to say, "Glory, I'm here." Because this is the only way God could do it without it being wrong. We were chosen in Him, the Bible says, before the world. Now here's where we really got to think. Now, oh Lord, stop that clock. I'll get this one. I can't get no more, no. See, we're so trained about our mind that we make it look like that all of our doings was in vain. See, quick as you say something, you say, "Well, I sought God." Well, now, brother, let me explain that to you now. Brother Branham explains it. The Bible says no man sought God. Then just look back at him and say, "No, don't say that. Go find it." Huh? But you see, as quick as we say something, your mind goes, because mine does too. It's the same thing talking to you. It's just like that. It's just going. Because that's your mind. It has to be controlled. That's why when Brother Motors, I told you, when he put my hide against the wall and he said, "What do you believe about God?" I said, "God in three persons." He said, "You're as Trinity as anybody else. Person's personality, personality's an individual, individual's person." Bless God, my theology don't say that. The theologians... No, I said, "You're right, and I don't believe that." Because I didn't let my mind run to what I thought was right. I saw he was right. So if we'd ever get to that basis, we could understand something. See? See, we're taught, "Well, you never sought God." until you get people to the bases that don't seek God. Right? Now look, that's right. You didn't seek God. But you know what you did? How many of you remember, in your life as a Christian when you were coming up back to the new birth and things? And you were crying and praying and fasting and reading and studying. You were doing everything you could do. You was repenting of this and repenting of that. You were getting rid of everything, trying to get cleaned up enough to get saved, right? And you know, if you hadn't have never done that, you know what? You would have never got saved. But I thought it was this way. See, that's where our mind has transmitted it over to the wrong place. Brother Branham wasn't saying what we thought. When we think and say, we read the message. We've been programmed to the basis that we never sought God. So why take my kids to church? You know that the Baptists had a doctrine back hundreds of years ago that they would not, it was kind of in the primitive styles, that they wouldn't take their children to church, at a revival especially. You know why? Because they're afraid they might get saved when God didn't know they'd get saved. Now you lie, that's exactly the doctrine. Well, I don't want to take my kids because they might get saved and God might not want him saved. So just leave him at home. How dumb can we be? A spiritual understanding. But you see, if you had not prayed and cried and longed after God, you would have never got him. Now, I want you to, if you don't believe that, now I know your mind clicked, so let's click it. How come there was 120 got the Holy Ghost in the upper room when 500 brethren, as I was saying a while ago, seen him after his resurrection, it says? Why didn't they go to the upper room? Something was wrong, wasn't it? All right, now get the answer to the rest of it. Why didn't God give the 500? Because they wasn't in the upper room. Sensible? Oh, Brother Dave, deep. Where's he deep about that? They just didn't go. Right. He said, tarry, wait somewhere. Right. And why not wait the last place they was in? Right? He didn't tell them where to go. He didn't tell them what city, what street, what address. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. So I guess, and I'm pretty sure it was, they went right back to where they were when the last seen him. That's where I'd have went, wouldn't you? And they sat down and waited. Had they not been there, they wouldn't have got it. So Brother Branham, and the Bible cannot be saying that we had nothing to do with it. But that's what's taught to us. Right? That's what our mind tries to translate. Where did Brother Branham ever tell somebody to come to the altar and pray and cry? Get up from there and quit crying. Quit seeking the Holy Ghost. Just go on, it'll come to you. Now you show me where he did. You see, because we're on this side of the line. We're over here in time. In time, things are taking place. Just like we were saying about God, he sits back in eternity and his foreknowledge is there. But it's his foreknowledge of what you will do when you get here. His foreknowledge of Esau and Jacob was what? And Esau was a better guy than Jacob. But all that God was looking at was Jacob wanted the birthright. Because it would type the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, go back there then. Said, okay, Jacob. You're a shyster anyway. Just go con your old daddy into giving it to you. You say, well, he did. No, his mama conned him into it. The church. Get the point. Had Jacob not fought for the birthright and done what he'd done, he'd have never got the birthright. Sister told me one time here, she said, I want my family to be saved. I know me and my husband said we've got problems, but I want, you know, a marital situation, but I want my children to be saved. I looked at her and just grinned and just, oh, that's nice. You trying to be a sacrifice. You want to be a sacrifice for your family. You know what? That's a good point. You know what? Well, what I was grinning about is because I knew that God didn't deal that way. He going to deal with getting her here. But that's all right. But listen. Where did you receive eternal life? We had to receive it. Surely we're not going to go with the basis of a lot of people says, well, I was just born with eternal life. Now, you're an eternal sinner. That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? And in the message, that's what they teach. I was just born with eternal life. I don't have to receive eternal life. Now, what's the Bible all about? Get what I'm saying, and then I'll come back to it this evening because I got about 10 minutes. You had something to do with being in the right place. They had to be in the upper room. It wasn't they were down on the street corner. They had to be there. They had to get there. All right? You, seeking God. You crying and praying for God to save you. Was exactly right. But what we don't really realize is the Bible tells us why. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Brother Branham said, and what did he say? He said, God was seeking you. He said, we wouldn't seek in him. But he said, because it's not in the human mortal to seek. He said, like in the garden. He said, where was it in the garden? He said, there it was. Was Adam searching for God? And all God was running around the garden, in the garden hollering, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He said, oh, that's just a story. No, it's the truth. Adam was by that time in one dimension. God was in another one. Come on, he's already fallen. But listen, church. You had something to do with this. Now you say, wait just a minute. Now the Bible says salvation is of the Lord. I'll agree with you 100%. Salvation is of the Lord. But you know, after you get saved, you have something to do with your life because you've got a choice to where you want to study. You got a choice where you want to go to church. You got a choice of what you want to do. No, bless God, this eternal life won't let me. Well, why did it take you so long to get here? I'm blunt. I know it. Sorry. But it's true. You sure must not have been listening to the Holy Ghost all the way down through there, because he'd been telling you where to go. Oh, now you're building up a little. No, I'm not building up a little. I'm telling it like it is. Brother Dale, don't build up nothing, because ain't nothing. Just, you don't give me one dime extra here for these. You can't argue that point. You know it. The men out there on the internet, they can't argue that point because I don't charge nobody for nothing. I give it to them free of charge anywhere in the world they want it. You ain't having to pay for get on anything because the gospel can't be sold. It takes money to operate, but it can't be sold. But listen, because I'm having to stop because if I don't, I'm going to go up another step, and I do, we're going to be here for 2 hours. All right? I'm not joking. So we, on this side. Now, are you following me? You agreed a while ago, so let's see if you keep following me. You agreed that God's foreknowledge was of what would be when we got here. You agreed that he would predestinate according to what we would do when we got here. Now, why can't you see that the choosing on our part? We're not in eternity with that word choosing, because you've got to drop over now, so leave. Don't get in eternity with the illustration I'm giving, because it's not there. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and then you can get it this evening. God didn't look down and see your choice. If he did, you had something to do with it. And it's not grace. That's what we think. That's where our mind is locked. That we think we had something to do with it. And you say, well, Brother Dale, you just got to explain and we had something to do with it. That's where you're going to have a revelation to separate the two. If you think that God looked down and saw you, then where is Jesus Christ? Well, he saw me like a choice. He knew that before the world. Because he said he knew where this seed would land up at. Now, we're back up to right there. Because I can't, if I go any further, just come on. If I go any further, I'll have to get into what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to do it. You just hold on. Hold on a little longer. Let's sing that. Help is on the way. Come on, Brother Richard, you got that song? You know it, Brother Dick? What is it? Hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Let's sing that. Yeah. What do we got? You know what? What's the number?
It's not in the book. Y'all just have to sing it by memory of what we've been doing around here.
All right. Go ahead. Let's stand together.
That's the chorus. We're going to win B flat. Just hold on
a little longer. Help is on the way. Time is coming, but you believe and pray. Just our Christian life, we have to search after God, because God will not override your free moral agency. He will not make you be saved if you don't want it. He looked down and seen you'd want it, yes. But that's being somebody chosen by the Lord. That's choosing you by what you do. That's not Bible. Help is. Anybody have a need? Hold on a little longer. Help me. Do you know that, Lord? See, I'm trying my best to preach the gospel straight. Not be like all these others. See, you don't need to seek after God. Man, here one time preached, you don't need to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Well, where would you be if you hadn't tarried for it? Tarry means to simply wait. It doesn't mean you got to get down to altar. It just means simply wait. Where'd you be, Brother Gary, for 2 years? Wait. Or a year. Wait. Just take it by faith. That's what they said in the upper room. Somebody was spiritual enough to say, no, it ain't come yet. Help is on the way. You're dismissed. Just sing out to one another. Father, just bless us. Lord, lead us. Give us understanding of you, Lord, in Jesus' name.